Beloved, Christ is in our midst. We come today to Holy Pentecost, 50 days since the resurrection of our Lord. We celebrate, as we heard in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning, the descent of the Holy Spirit in his fullness upon the apostles and disciples of the Lord in the upper room, descending upon them in the form, the appearance, as of tongues of fire, and giving them speech and the people there such hearing that though they all spoke different languages, everyone understood them in their own language when Peter got up to speak, to preach to them about Christ Jesus and him crucified and risen from the dead. And in the gospel, Jesus assures us that he sends us the Spirit, that he who is the light of life, Christ himself, sends the Spirit to become in us a spring of water, pouring out life eternal. The one prayer of this day of Holy Pentecost is one that we have not said for 50 days. For if you paid attention before the liturgy as the deacon and I were saying prayers, for 40 days we were saying Christ is risen three times as we raised up our hands to pray to God. And then from Ascension until Friday, we said the troparion of the Ascension. But today, it was the hymn, the prayer that we find in all of our prayer books, O Heavenly King, the Comforter. And there are two aspects of this prayer that I would like to focus on today. The first is that title, the Comforter, the Spirit of the Truth. Many translations omit that word, the, saying Spirit of Truth. So we think that the Spirit is one of the difference between falsehood and truth, some abstract truth, that there is falsehood and there's truth, and this Spirit is the Spirit of this abstract truth. But it is Spirit of the Truth with a capital T, because Jesus tells us that he is the way, the truth, capital T, the life, who will send the Spirit of the Truth in the same chapter of John's Gospel. That the Spirit of the Truth is the Spirit of Christ Jesus himself that he sends to us. That the truth is not something abstract. It is a person. The person of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, incarnate for us. So the Spirit that we pray for to come upon us is the Spirit that Christ Jesus himself sends, the third person of the Trinity, who proceeds from the Father, as we say during the Creed, but comes to us through the Son, through the truth, who sends him upon us as he sent him upon his disciples on the day of Pentecost. The second aspect of the prayer is where we commonly say, come and abide in us. And a closer translation would be, come and tabernacle within us. That word tabernacle, it has direct connection to the Old Testament, where if we've ever tried to read the Bible from the beginning to the end, and we get to Exodus chapter 25, and boom, you have to stop and listen to God tell Moses for a whole chapter, and then a chapter after that, how to appoint it, the tabernacle, the place where God would dwell among the Israelites, where he tells Moses what type of wood to use, what type of linen to use, what color to use, how many rings to have on the curtains, how many curtains to have in the front, how many curtains to have in the back, how many curtains to have on this side, and how many curtains to have on that side. So important is the tabernacle, because this is where God comes to dwell. And he is telling Moses, this is what I am telling you, the pattern which you have seen and I have shown you, on the holy mountain, on Sinai, I am asking you to make an earthly representation of the heavenly tabernacle where I will dwell among you. Now all that, the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was, the mercy seat where God dwelled among Israel as they wandered through the desert before the temple was built, we pray the Holy Spirit come and tabernacle in us, to come and live, and not simply live in us, but be with us forever. As we go through our lives, we go through many houses. We begin living in our parents' house. If we went to school, we had a place to live there. As we grew up, we got a house of our own, and maybe another as we had to move because of a job. In our life, we dwell in many places. God tabernacles in us always. He does not choose to go from place to place. He chooses to live in us, to make his tent, which is tabernacle, skini in Greek, his tent in us, to live in us. And he does not go away from us. He makes his residence permanent in us, a permanent dwelling. Yes, we can go away from him. We can try. By our sins, we turn away from him in us. And then we come to confession to rewrite that relationship with him who dwells in us. That his dwelling in us is effective for the building up of Christ in us. That the Spirit being in us allows Christ to grow more and more in us. Because we are God's home, his tabernacle, in image of this building, which is his tabernacle, his dwelling place, of his tabernacle, which is in heaven. They all are related. We, who are his living tabernacle, fashioned not from acacia wood and linen and purple and blue cloth, but of flesh and blood that he himself made, that we are his tabernacle. And we come here to this tabernacle where he dwells to worship him, in the heavenly tabernacle, so that we continue to grow in him, in the Spirit who is with us. And to understand the permanence of God's tabernacling with us, we look to the saints who have written and have seen visions and experiences of what it is to dwell in God. And we will hear this in the third prayer of the kneeling prayers of Pentecost that we will take at the end of liturgy today, where we pray for all those who have fallen asleep. Because we might say, well, what about those people who sin, who never turn to God? Don't they go to hell? Beloved, hell is not a place. If we listen closely to all of our prayers and hymns, Christ ransacked hell. He destroyed it. There are no gates upon it. And as we say in this prayer, O heavenly King, we say you are everywhere present and fill all things. We don't say except for hell. God's everywhere. He fills everything. He is in us. But if we do not desire to be with him, beloved, we who are his tabernacles and have him living in us, what worse hell could there be than to be in God's presence when we do not want to be in his presence? That is how the saints explain heaven and hell. that heaven is to be with God, with the saints, desiring him, yearning for him, living in him, so that when we pass from this life, we go to the joy of living in his presence, unmediated, not covered up by all the things we see of physical nature, but what we will see of the invisible nature that exists. And those who do not desire to be with God will find themselves precisely there with him. And to desire not to be with God is its own form of punishment, because no one can escape God. We all will go to him. As we read in St. John's Gospel, the words of the Lord, those who have done right to the resurrection of life, to be in God's presence as joy, as love. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment, to still be in God's presence, but God's presence rather as sorrow, as painfulness of not wanting to be there, yet having no choice but to be there in God's presence. And yet we will pray in this third prayer of the kneeling prayers of Pentecost today. We will pray for the salvation of all. Not for some, not only for those who have been faithful, but for everyone. From the beginning of the age until the end of the age. That all may experience God through his mercy, through the prayers of the saints, in joy, in love, in the fullness of life and light, who is Christ himself, who sends upon us his Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father, and to whom we worship always, now and ever, and to ages of ages.